sounds different, but I was kind of used to it because I was in a band for a lot of years, and when you have the amps that are facing the front of you so you can hear what you're singing, that's kind of what it reminds me of, is, you know, being on stage and having my voice reflect back to me, because now I can hear my voice coming from here, and that's kind of like what it is on stage. You're singing, and they put that up there for you to hear, so you can hear what you're doing or whatever, but it's weird having it on my face. You know, I want to slap it off like a bug or something. Anyway, takes some time to get used to, but that's good. I mean, it should be good. Huh? And I just wanted to say, you know, it's good to be saved. Isn't it good to be saved? Maybe not, but to me it's good to be saved anyway. I like being saved, and, you know, how dare God, how dare He make us come to church on a Sunday or a Wednesday? What audacity does He have to ask us to come here on a Wednesday and a Sunday?
No, it's Yahweh.
You know, I mean, and we do that. And honestly, if we could have church, you know, and we try hard to get to other meetings and other churches and stuff like that, because I don't know about you guys, but I know I'm weak in the flesh. I know that my sin nature still likes to come up and rile up. But, you know, the more I'm under God's preaching, or people who think they're preaching God's word, at least listening to the music and listening to their message, I can get something from that. I've learned from the pastor. He used to say, hey, when you listen to a message, take that meat and use it and throw away the bone. I've learned to do that. I can go somewhere and I can sit and hear a message that I would think, oh goodness, but there's some meat that comes from that thing, and that's what I hold on to. There was something God needed me to hear. And you know, I can go in there with a mindset that, oh yeah, I'm not going to listen to this guy. He has no clue. And he may not, but God does. And there's something that strikes my heart, listen to that person, then I should have been there. But I'm not going to take that chance and miss it if I don't have to. But really, honestly, God asks us to be here twice a week. That's a lot. Out of 7 days, twice a week, we have to give up some things for Him. And we expect Him to give up everything for us. Let me run that gene, God. I can't. Hang on. You got to do this for me, even though I'm not doing what you asked me to. But you're going to do what I asked you to. Let me just tell you something. The least time that you spend in church, the least amount of time you spend in your Bible, the least amount of time you spend in prayer, look at your life. It reflects that you're doing that. Uh-huh. It reflects that. Wonder why sometimes you're just going through it all the time? Because you're not doing what God wants you to. I'm guilty of that. I'm not standing up here saying I have it right, because I don't. But I'm going to preach on laborers needed. God's looking for some people to send out. God's looking for some. He wants to use some people. Matthew 9, verse 37 is where I'm going to start. And the Lord put this on my heart. I'm not sure why He does. But it really just touched me this week, studying that out. I mean, Matthew 4:4 was another thing the Lord really gave me to study on. And there's things in that Bible, if you could just get past your own selfish will and your own desires and pick up a Bible and read it, there's things in that Bible that will blow your mind. There's things in that Bible, man, that you just, you know, as a lost man, I did the Spirit on the study. And it helped me to really see, man, this Bible is real. It's true. It knows exactly what it's, I mean, it knows. It knows Dale Morey. I can't speak for anybody else that's sitting here, but it knew who I was. This Bible showed me exactly who and what I was. And you're being diligent in that thing. Being diligent in that thing. And I'm just telling you, God has got some stuff He wants to show you even more than He shows me. Even more than He's shown Pastor. That God's got something for each and every one to show us different things. If you could just get that into your head and let that be your driving force. I told the Sunday school kids this morning, I said, please, the God of this world has blinded the minds. He's blinded the minds of the people. Why? How? He's brought out perverted verses. He's opened up these garbage church doors. And then you know what else He's done to blind the people that even sit in our church pews today? He's opened their minds to the world and closed it up to God. The things of God don't matter because the things of the world are taking that place. And they're going to find themselves in a hurting place. And they're going to find themselves in a rotten place in life. And they're going to wonder, how did I get here? It's because the God of this world blinded your minds to the things of God. The devil wants to do that, even to a Christian. Could you imagine? Imagine if the devil just had victory in my life, where I just put the Bible down and said, that's it, I'm done. For the rest of my life, I'm not reading, I'm not preaching, I'm not studying ever again. The effect that that would have on people. The effect that that would affect on my family. The effect of my wife and my children. Even my mother. The effect that that would have on them. But the devil likes to do that to us. He would much rather have you go out there and fill yourself with the things of this world than the things of God. There's only one way to defeat that, and that's to stay in the Word of God. Amen. That's to stay under preaching. Stay under your prayer. Get out there and make this thing real in your life for once. Choose something and make a thing that's going to be in your life for the rest of your life. Wow. Yeah. I told Jim this afternoon, I was out there, we were talking. I said, when I'm ready to retire, I just hope the Lord retires me right to heaven. I don't even want to stay on earth. Just retire me right to heaven. There's nothing for me to stay here to see. I would like to travel, but you know what? I don't have to travel. I haven't seen much. You know, I've seen the up and down the East Coast. I haven't seen the Statue of Liberty. I've never even been there to see that. I've always been a traveling guy. Pastor knows. He used to hitchhike just like I used to hitchhike. I hitchhiked all over, up and down the East Coast, from Buffalo to Florida, Florida and Buffalo, and out to Ohio, Michigan. And all. I used to hitchhike all over the place. But if I, you know, when it's time for me and Amy to retire, I just hope maybe I can just retire right to eternity. There's nothing this earth really can offer me that I want to stay here. And, you know, the more and more the days that go by, the less and less I want to be here. I don't sleep. I'm tore up. The doctor put me on a non-narcotic medicine to help me sleep, and it's tearing me up even more because now I'm laying in bed so long that it's killing me to even get out of the bed because I've been in it way too much. So it's almost better off that I wake up in the middle of the night and go out there to my recliner than to lay in bed. You go ahead and try to figure that out. But that's just how it is anyway. Just keep praying for me. The Lord, He's been good to me regardless of what's going on in my physical life. God's been good to me. He's still teaching me. He's still walking with me. Giving me strength to take care of my wife and my kids and my family. And I added walking into that. I started walking because the doctor said, you got to walk. I cut almost completely back on the soda now. I'm almost completely done with it. I just came off it weak because of the headaches, man. I mean, I was so afraid of the headaches. So I weaned myself off of them, you know. But I'm borderline diabetic now. I mean, so physically, I mean, things are just falling apart. I'm falling apart pretty quickly. But not spiritually. Spiritually, I'm just getting started. Spiritually, I'm just starting a whole new fresh life. I've only been saved going on 4 years, and I'll just tell you, it don't get boring. It don't get faded out. Once you let God take control of it, ask Timmy, how's studying that Bible been for you, bud? I mean, you find some things out. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. And I like hearing the news. You know, Autumn, I just happened to see her talking to Pastor here. And for the last couple of weeks, she's been wondering about salvation. That's a blessing to me to hear that my little one's asking for that. And He gives her the same answer I give her. Trust Jesus. When He knows that's what you want, and that's all you want, He'll save you. Maybe one day she will. Maybe one day she won't. I don't know. Matthew 9, verse 37 says, then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. In churches today, it's not much of a problem finding those who may be willing to give a little of their time to help around the church house. The real question is, how many are willing to give up their time outside of the church house when time isn't convenient? Or when your schedule is jam-packed with your own things to do, but someone or something needs your attention immediately? It's not so bad when you are available to do something here inside of this church. And it's a good thing because God, we need those in churches. God knows that's why He appoints people to it. But now we're going to take a step outside of the church where it matters just as much. He says that the harvests are plenteous. There's not enough laborers. Everybody's willing to do stuff around the church house and outside of the church house. And that's a blessing. Thank God for it. But now we get outside of the church because we're not in church 7 days a week. So now we got to step outside the church. Now what's going on outside the church? Well, you can take a look at America and plainly see that there's not enough laborers. America's it's fallen by the wayside when it comes to Christianity. It really is. Nobody wants. I mean, really, God has been put on the back burner. Nobody's listening to anything about God. But listen, if he can raise up some laborers, if he can raise them up and send them out, the real question is, who's really willing to give up their time outside the church house when time isn't convenient? Or when their schedule is jam-packed with their own things, but someone needs attention immediately? How many, when they are tired or busy with their own things, are willing to put those things aside to help others? How many, when you are pain-stricken and up all night, are willing to put your needs aside for someone else? How about when the money is tight and the gas is low? Do you trust God to take care of you and go take care of that need? Or what about those who do have the time and do have the money, but because their needs are met, they are selfish and lazy and still refuse to help? How about, has any of these questions hit anybody who's sitting in this room? If they have, then it's time to, you know, listen to me. One of the prayers of the Lord was that he would send laborers out. Listen to me. There's a wonderful thing going on here in Black Creek. Nobody can deny that. But where are the laborers coming out of Black Creek? It's nice for us to all sit here and get it all the time and keep it to ourselves. But that's not what he saved us for. He didn't save Dale Morey just to sit back, shut up, sit in the pew the rest of my life. No. No, we are all called to what? Go out there and be salt. Go out there and tell Jesus Christ what Jesus Christ has done for us. Not to sit in the pew and enjoy it week after week and leave those out of that world that's out there lost and dying, going to hell. You know better. They don't. He says, Jesus asks, go out there and take care of a need. What else? What time and money? But they're still just lazy and selfish. Are you willing to give up your time, money, and problems to help others? Jesus asked, the harvest is plenteous and ready. Are you? He did not put a stipulation on this question. He did not say when you're all settled and your bills are paid and all rested up. He said his harvest is plenteous. Are you ready to go into his harvest? He didn't say when everything's just fine and you're all good and everything's just going your way that you go out there. No, he did not say that. He said it's ready now. He didn't say, listen, I know, yes, go ahead, yeah. You go ahead and take care of that first. And then Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. Then what's it say he'll do? Then he'll give us our need.
That's right.
You see, we put our needs first. Forget anybody else. Forget, listen, I got to do my things first. I got to get myself, there are so many times that my phone rings or I get a text message or something and I have to go somewhere and I'm just like, please Lord, I just need the rest. But I just know if I don't go, I need to be there because that's what I was called to do. And you know what? I struggle and I fight and I kick and whine like a little baby. But afterwards, I am so happy that I went. I am. I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that pick-me-up. It really picked me up. It really set me back on fire again. It really made me think, this is why I got into this thing. For you, Lord, not me. I didn't get called into the ministry for Dale Morey. Because Dale Morey's nothing. I'm nothing without God. I'm an imperfect person saved by a perfect God. And that's all I'll ever be. And therefore, he called me to be a laborer. What's a laborer? That means there's a boss. Who's my boss? Jesus Christ is my boss. I'm going to do what he tells me. But how lazy have we gotten? How caught up in our own stuff have we gotten? There's people who need help out there, people. And guess who he's called to do it? Those sitting in the church pews at Black Creek. Matthew 6:33 and Proverbs 3:5 and 6 says, to seek God and his righteousness, to trust him and not your ways. How many are willing to go out in the harvest, trust him, and do what he asks? As we are God's people, we are his laborers. The Bible reads, who are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. We are created in Christ Jesus. That means when you became a new creature, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, you become that new person, you're created unto good works in Christ Jesus. When you're a saved person, you were created unto good works. That means you are to go out there and create as you're a created person in Christ Jesus and do the good works that he's called you to do. He ordained them before the beginning of time, it says. He ordained you are created in Christ Jesus. Now it's not about you. Now it's about Jesus Christ. Why is it so important? Because there's people dying and going to hell on a daily basis. And we may be the one that Jesus Christ called to go touch that person's life. And when we refuse, guess what happens? He loses another one. This cross just wasn't meant for you people sitting in this room. It was meant for the whole world. if you read his Bible correctly, he died for everybody.
Amen.
And when he saved you under what? Good works. Created to be a laborer. Let me tell you something. Me and my wife, now, we all sometimes we'll kick and scream because we know we're a laborer for Jesus Christ. And sometimes it just eats up our time. And sometimes, you know what? Saturday, boy, yeah, yesterday was looking good just to sit back and do nothing all day. And I could not. But you know what? When it came time for rest, guess what we got? It was just a wonderful time together after that. Tell me it wasn't. We had a quiet bonfire together. We went out walking together on our daily walk to try to lose weight together. It was peaceful. It was relaxing. I mean, it was a wonderful, wonderful time. Why? Because we put ourselves second and we put God first. I'm just telling you now. You know what? Hey, I don't believe we go out there and do the works looking for a reward, do we? I don't stand up here and expect God to give me a reward for everything that I do. He died for me. That was enough. To even call me, to even use somebody like me is enough for me to get out here and want to do it. That's, you know, we're his. Why? Because I'm created in Christ Jesus. He's created me a new heart. That's what the Bible says in Psalm 51. Created me a new heart. Why? He has to create me a new heart because I was born with a wicked one. My desire was never to go out here and help you. Heck, I'd stand next to you and help you destroy your life. I'd sit there and drink and smoke and snort and whatever else you wanted to do right along with you. God has called me into something different. He's called me to have a different desire. Why? Because I'm created in Christ Jesus under good works. That's why he didn't call me just to sit on the couch and moan and groan and cry and complain and whine and cry about every single thing. And I have the reasons to do that. You take 24 hours in my shoes. I have the reasons to go ahead and do that kind of stuff. But you know what? God forbid, I don't want to. You ask my wife, she's like, oh, you better not do that. You're going to end up hurting yourself. Oh, you know what? I end up hurting myself. But you know what? I enjoy doing what I'm not going to stop living my life. My life is not over because I'm in pain. You know why? Because I never had a life up until 4 years ago. That's the God's honest truth. I've never had a life up until 4 years ago, and I am not going to stop now until I go to eternity. Do we trust God to take care of us? As a new created creature in Christ, we labor for Him. Colossians 3:23 and 24. It says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. That means with all your heart. Do it with all your might. Do it with everything that you are. Do it for Him, as to the Lord and not of men. People today are caught up doing everything for a man. For a man say, good, pat you on your back. Oh, that was good. Oh, yeah, you did wonderful. Oh, good. You know, I don't get people patting me on my back, and I don't care if anybody pats me on my back. Once in a while, my pastor might give me some encouragement or somebody I know give me encouragement, but I don't need somebody to pat me on my back and tell me a good job because I'm not working for you. My boss is in heaven. That's who I work for. That's who I live my life for. Why? Because that's what he called me out to. Do it as unto Jesus, unto the Lord, and not of men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. I'm sorry, but my pastor's not going to give me my reward in heaven.
I believe it.
My friends, you guys are here, are not going to give me my reward in heaven. It says that Jesus Christ is going to give me my reward. Why? Because I'm his servant. That means I'm his laborer. Hey, those of you who work a job in here, you might cut corners, but I'm telling you now, when Jesus Christ gets in your heart, you won't want to cut corners anymore. That's a hard lesson I learned. But anyway, you get paid from your boss to do the job that you're appointed to. Now, if you're cutting corners at work, you're sure going to cut corners with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I tell you that much right now. You won't be serving Him the way He wants you to, and He knows that. So here you are, you're created in Christ Jesus, you're saved, He saved you, now you're a new person. Now He says, Dale, all right, now I need you to go out there and I need you to work with this person. And I can go out there and I can cut corners and hope this and hope that, or I can go out there and do exactly what He told me to, exactly the way He wants, and then I can expect my reward sometimes here on earth, don't get me wrong, but in heaven I get my reward. Now, as a worker, as somebody who pays you, I'm your boss. I say, hey, I need you to go do exactly what I tell you on this. Fix that way. Make sure it's done that way when I come back. And you know what? It's good. Oh, good. You did great. That's why I pay you, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? Most people cut corners at work, so I know they cut corners with Jesus Christ. And if you know what? If you cut corners with Jesus Christ, you'll cut them in your family.
Come on.
You'll cut them in your Bible reading.
Come on.
You'll cut them in your prayer life. You'll come into church. These are all these things that will happen when you start doing that. Where your heart is. Where's your heart? Well, is your heart really into doing what Jesus wants you to? If it is, He called you to be a laborer. You're created in the Christ Jesus under good works. Why? Because you're His servant. Is it so hard to be His servant, Amy? I think it's pretty good. It gets hard. But you're going to live a hard life whether you do it for Him or don't do it for Him. You're still going to have a hard life. So why not get more joy out of doing it for Him than not doing it for Him? Your reward will be in heaven. I hope, you know, the other day I just had to sit down. I said, you know, Lord, we had some hard times. I sure know, man, you've been wearing my backside out, Lord. I mean, man, you've been showing me some hard corrections. And, you know, and I deserve every bit of it. And I know I do. And a couple weeks ago, I said, Lord, if you could just, please just show me and my wife a little mercy and a little grace. And this morning I just had to sit down. I said, Lord, I almost forgot to thank you for all that you've been doing for us for the last few weeks. Because He's been so merciful and grateful to me and my family, hasn't He? You can't tell me there hasn't been peace in our home and things just going right. And I forgot almost to thank Him. And that's why the psalmist David said, Lord, don't give me too much. I paraphrase, don't give me too much because I will forget you. And you know what? I almost forgot because He gave me too much. You see, God is good like that. But we need, and I had to sit down. I said, oh, literally, I sat down. I said, forgive me. Lord, I am so sorry. I am so sorry for not recognizing your hand on my fast. Please forgive me. But thank you so much for the much needed rest. It really, I mean, you got, it sounds crazy, but it's a peace that passes all understanding. That's all I can tell you.
Amen.
And it really, truly, it becomes that. You look back and you go, gosh, how did I have peace? What do you mean? But really, it's there. And I thank God for it. And I had to sit down just thanking for it. You know, that's a reward for me. That makes it worth me doing what I do. That makes it worth for me to live my life the way I live. Because that little reward that God gave us, that peace. I mean, just everything, it's been okay. I thank God for that. Knowing that we serve the Lord. We are to put our desires on the side and go to those who need help. The Bible says we are to without stipulation. Now listen to this. This is without any kind of stipulation. Luke 10, 27 and 28 says, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do and thou shalt live. Well, who is our neighbor? If you go and read that story, it's anybody who's in need. Go back and read. It was a Samaritan that came and helped. Or a Samaritan that got hurt. Am I right? Anyway. Yeah. And so we are to go out there and help anybody. That doesn't mean just somebody you live next door to. That's somebody at the grocery store. That's somebody you might know or not know who needs a ride to church. And I think Jody and Chris are coming to get... I was going to come get Chris if I would... But I said, man, I wonder if Jody and Chris can do it. They're coming right through there, so I'll let them go pick her up. Chris knows I would have came and got her. There's no question about that. Adam, he knows. If he ever called me to go all the way out to Wellsville, Amy, where do you think I'd be heading? I'd go to Wellsville. Just to make sure he's here. I don't have a problem with that. That's putting your needs aside. But he says, love the Lord thy God. This is the New Testament, just so you know, by the way. This is a New Testament verse. We're to love the Lord thy God with what? With all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. That's how we're to love God. That's what we're called to. And I'm going to tell you now, we have issues even doing that. But then he goes beyond and says, and also thy neighbor as thyself. But here's the catch to that whole thing. If you're not doing what you should be with God, you treat your neighbor just the way you treat yourself. And your neighbor's probably your worst enemy. That's because that's the way you treat them, just like yourself. Therefore, your neighbor has become your worst enemy. Because you don't serve God the way you're supposed to. You don't take care of yourself the way you're supposed to. And guess what? You sure ain't going to take care of your neighbor the way you're supposed to. That's why it says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, and all thy mind. Why? Because then you can love thy neighbor. Love thy neighbor. You know, I'll tell you this. If I didn't love the Lord the way I'm supposed to, and I don't, I fail a lot, okay? I'm not patting myself on the back, but I do struggle and I do try hard. But if I did, my kids would see that. My kids would expose me before anybody else would. And And then I had my wife waiting in line. But I believe the Lord is working in our family. And I believe the Lord has opened a door for me to go out there and work with people. Why? Because I'm perfect at it? No, but I strive to do it. That's my strive. That's my diligence. My diligence is to become that. Why? Because I want to be a laborer. Thank God our pastor is a laborer for Christ. Because I tell you right now, me and my wife wouldn't be saved today. A lot of you that are sitting here wouldn't be where you are today if it wasn't for his faithfulness to the Lord, his faithfulness to a King James Bible and preaching. It just wouldn't be. Thank God for that labor. Now, you know what? I'm just going to say this. There's somebody out there right now waiting for you to approach them.
Oh, yes, sir.
Take that for what you want. I'm just telling you how it is. There's some. He didn't know me from Adam. He approached my house. He just knew that this lady at Hannah's school said, please go see my daughter and son-in-law. They're in trouble. He came to my house. Here I am, 8 years later, saved, preaching, called to preach, out there helping other people. Can't believe I'm standing where I'm standing today. Amen. That laborer. Who's that neighbor? I'm that neighbor. I was that neighbor. Luke 10, thank you, buddy. 10:29-37, Jesus goes through great lengths to show who our neighbor is, anyone who is in need. After salvation, we live for Jesus and not our selfish desires. Jesus says to seek God first and he will provide our need. He never promised to meet our wants, and those who teach that in their churches, they teach it with corrupt Bibles. He wants us to do it for his sake and to help people. You know, there's churches out there that I tell you, the more work you do for Jesus and the more that you put in the offering plate, the more you'll have. That's what they teach. But I'm just going to tell you this right now. That's a false doctrine. That's garbage. The Lord puts on your heart what you need. He teaches you in the Bible what you need to tithe, how much you need to tithe. I know once me and my wife got that worked out in our life, things worked out pretty good. You know who got us in trouble? Us. It was our stupidity that got us in the trouble we went in financially. But you know who got me out? My Heavenly Father. I don't believe he'll be so nice again. Thank you, Zay. I don't believe he'll be so nice again because I'll tell you what, he drug us through it this time. He made sure that this is not what I want anymore. And I'm telling you right now, we don't want it anymore. You can have it all. But you know what? It was his love for me that he did that.
Amen.
That's something? His love for my family. Anyway. For he wants to do it for his sakes, to help people, and not for reward. You have a wrong heart if you desire to, you believe to, excuse me, you have a wrong desire in your heart if you believe that you're doing the work for God and he has to reward you. He gave you a reward. He gave you eternal life if you're saved. He needs to give you no more. He needs to give you no more. But you know what he does? He does. He still blesses afterwards. Isn't that something? And then you know what? He didn't leave us alone. He says he's going to give us a comforter. And then what else does he give us? And you know what else he gives us? Each other. I mean, what a deal. What a deal. I like that deal. I like having that. You know, now we got to get out there. As brothers and sisters, we got to get out there, man. And we got to start giving the same hope to other people. Name a person you think that wouldn't want the hope that you have. I know a lot of people that they're hurting out there. And I mean, they are hurting bad. And I know that, you know what? The only way I'm going to ever get to them, or the only thing that I can ever give to them, is show them the hope that Jesus Christ gave them. Now, not all are going to continue to want it. Not all are going to continue. You know, those pendulums going to swing one way or the other. But you know what? The point is to get out there, plant that seed. Hopefully somebody will come along and water, and God will give the increase. I know I have plenty of people over the years being in and out of prison come in and try to work with me on this and do that. And, you know, old-time Baptists came in. They preached the King James Bible to me. And it wasn't until I got in this church that God gave the increase. But there was people out there watering. As comes up my next point. We see, did I skip some? Oh yeah, no. We see that when Jesus helped someone, that they went out to tell others what he'd done for them. Luke 8, 39, 38 says, now the man of whom the devils were departed saw him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, return to thine house and show how great things God has done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. As we read here, the man wanted to be with Jesus and keep what Jesus gave to him for himself. But Jesus tells him, no, go out there and tell others. You see, the guy wanted to stay with Jesus. And Jesus said, no, you need to go out and tell him. Listen, I understand you want to come to church and get whatever you get from God and keep it for yourself. But I'm telling you now, the Lord's telling you, no, go out and tell others. That's what he just did to this guy here. The guy said he was seeking Jesus to be with him. And Jesus said, no, you go on and tell others. That's what it said. Guess what he wants us to do? That hope that he's given us, he wants us to bring that to others. The harvest is ready. The laborers are few. There's nobody to do it. There was a time when America had a lot of laborers. And then the laborers went corrupt. They went man's way. And not God's way. I don't know how many times. And I'm not trying to blow anybody's head up, make anybody cry for anything up. I'm just glad that somebody came in with the knowledge to say, it's the King James Bible. That's what you need. I'm glad somebody came in and preached it for exactly what it was and showed me that's what you need. You know why? Because all those people are letting go of that. I know because I went to another church again here in the last few days. A Baptist church who has pulled every single King James Bible out of their pew and now have put in a new King James Bible in its place. I met a guy not too long ago. He asked me who my church was. I said, I'm at the Black Creek Baptist Church. He goes, oh, that's your church?
Amen.
Yep. See what I mean? The laborers are going corrupt. God has done something here in Black Creek for a reason. Some things can happen here if we're willing. We have to be willing to be a laborer for Christ. Don't take that hope that he's given you, Doug. Give that hope to somebody else. Let them see it. Randy, Tim, Audie. Don't hold on to it. It's not just yours. Don't be greedy and selfish. This man wanted to stay with Jesus. And there's so many people who have a good heart who just want to stay in church and read the Bible and do the right thing. But he says, no, I need you to go out there and show others so they can see what they've done, what I've done. So his name can be glorified. Thank God, you know, I got a big mouth. I don't keep my mouth shut. And finally God is using it for something of his good. Because I don't want to keep what he gave me to myself. I just don't. And you know what another thing is? I never feared a person or anything in my entire life. And even as the same person, I don't fear anybody even less now. I'm not afraid to go out there and tell anybody about anything. I don't care what they think about my life, who I am, or what I am. But I can tell you now, they don't have to stay in that same position. They don't have to. They think there's no hope. You know why? Because some guy came along, handed him a tract, and said, there's your hope. No, that tract is not, or that hope is not in that tract. That hope is in Jesus Christ. That's who they need to see. Go give your testimony what he done for you. That has a lot of power in it. Isn't that what he told this guy to do? He didn't say go hand him a tract with the Romans wrote on it. He said go tell him what I've done for you. Show him how many great things I've done for you. That's what he told him to do. There used to be a time that's how people went out soul winning. They would give their testimony of what Jesus Christ done for them. We'll see where that went. As we read here, the man wanted to be with Jesus, but Jesus said, go out. Go out and tell others. Too many people sitting in church pews today, they get what they want from Jesus and keep it to themselves. But Jesus wants them to go out and tell others. We see this again with the woman at the well who Jesus deals with in John 4, 28 through 30. That the woman left her water pot and went into the city and saith unto the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. I'm going to just tell you right now, this Bible will tell you everything that you've ever done in your entire life. It fits your life today in 2015. Okay? Don't think it don't, because it does. So this is you know what? This is what she's going out telling everybody. Who is Jesus? Is he not the Word of God? That's what it says in John 1, doesn't it? So if he told her, why wouldn't he tell you in here? He's trying. I promise you, he's trying to tell you. He's trying to get you to see exactly what you need to see. Let me see. They went out of the city and came and by what Jesus done for her and her going out and giving her testimony, the men came back to seek out Jesus. This is why Jesus says the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Because when people get the help they need from Jesus, they want to keep the hope for themselves. They are lazy, or the things in their lives are more important than one soul. And if some do go out, they use what man has gave them instead of the testimony of what Jesus Christ has done for them. In both of these examples, the crazy man at the Gardenes and the woman at the well, they went out and told people what Jesus had done for them. They became laborers for Christ. We sit back and complain and mock others for what they're out there doing, and yet we do nothing about it. How many times we'll sit there and go, oh yeah, look at, he's from that little liberal church, and look what he's doing. Go look at Well Springs. But at least they're doing something. At least they're doing something. I don't agree with how they do it. But at least they're out there doing something. They're showing them some kind of love. They're showing them some kind of hope, even though it doesn't work. But they're out there doing it because you know why? Because they believe. That's what their hope. They believe that hope. How much do we believe our hope and sit home and not even give it to anybody? They believe those Bibles, Pastor. They believe what they're preached to, if that's what you want to call it. They believe what they have is the real hope. And you know what they do? They go out and share it. What about us sitting in Black Creek? Oh, holier than now. Oh, yes, we have all the hope. Yes, we're King James this and King James Bible that. Listen, it's okay to say that. It's okay if you're living it. It's okay to be a King James Bible believer, but you have to live it. Why? Because that Bible says you will do it. You're not just going to be here because you deceive yourself. You might as well go sit in that church over there in the Genesis Bible Church. You might as well go sit because that's where you fit in. You hear all this and this and that, and you know what? You fit right in with them. God's trying to wake you up. Complain about others. We have become like the 10 that were healed. We got what we needed from Jesus, and only one came back to thank the Lord and then be sent away. Notice this guy, it says, 10 lepers came up. Jesus says, go show it to the priest. One came back and gave thanks. Thank you for what you've done in my life. He says, where's the other one? Weren't there 10? They never even went to the priest to show themselves. They just skipped over the whole thing. There's nothing, that's it. They got what they wanted and gone. Got what they wanted and gone. Jesus preached against that. That's why he brought that up. You know what? How many of us in Black Creek have become that? Be honest with yourself. Let's just be honest. Because what? I'm preaching the word. You mostly would agree this is the Bible. It says the truth will make you free. I'm not the truth. What I have to say is not the truth. But you better believe what this right here says is the truth. It will set you free. Make you free is what it says. Am I right? Make you free. It will make you free. Not set you. It will make you free. Let me cry. I'm not trying to use an NIV when I preach. Sometimes I paraphrase the wrong way. Boy, it fits right in with the NIVs and stuff, though. That's crazy. It will make you free. There's a difference between setting free and making free if you think about that. Setting free is just, you know, something's being let loose. Making free is like, you're going to do it. You're going to be free. It's going to make you be free. This book made me free. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that. We mock others for what they're doing. 10 got healed. 1 came back. Luke 17, 12 through 19 says, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. 1 came back. And Jesus answered and said, where were the 10 that were cleansed? But where are the 9? Are they not found to return to give glory to God, save this stranger? And he said unto him, arise, go that way. That faith made thee whole. The other 9 never did what Jesus told them. We do the same. We get what we need from Jesus and leave. Many are afraid to leave their comfort zone to help others. But Jesus did. He left heaven and sitting on the right hand of the Father to come for our sakes. Matthew 8:20. Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Jesus gave that up to come down here for us. But we have all that stuff and we're still worried about that, going out there and helping somebody else. We have places to live. We have food to eat. We have cars to drive or whatever else. But yet, we are so selfish that we cannot go out and help somebody who's less fortunate. Jesus came down. Just imagine leaving everything he did in heaven to come to this. And yet, we can't give up a little bit of our time. He said he had nowhere to lay his head. He said even the wild animals have a place to live. I don't. He gave all that up for us. He's asking us to give up. You know what he's asking? A Sunday, a Wednesday, maybe a little time with somebody. That's too much for us. We can't, Lord. We only have 7 days and however many hours in a week. We can't give that much to you. He gave that much for us and more. He gave up everything for us. And he asked us just for a little bit of our time. And we sit here week after week, after week after week, after week after week, after week after week, and we expect God to do something in our life. We expect to rub that genie, and poof, God puffs out, and here we go. Now you have to do what I say, Lord. Oh, no, you have the wrong God. God is not down on your level or your playing field to come down to you like that. Okay? If so, you missed it. You need to get that right with him. I'm going to close with this. Jesus says, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest, it says. Now get that, it says his harvest. It's not yours, it's his. And those laborers include those who are in Black Creek Baptist Church, not just for the pastors, not just for the preachers, not for the Sunday school teachers, evangelists, and the missionaries, but for all whom Jesus has saved, healed, helped, and changed. Those who did get these have a desire to go out and share them. Those who did not won't, because what they have is artificial. If you're not out there sharing what Jesus Christ done for you, then you didn't get nothing done. Because there's a whole lot to share about what he done for anybody in their life. Hope cannot be shared if one did not obtain hope. Will you be the answer to the Lord's prayer for laborers to go into his harvest? Will you at Black Creek finally say, you know what? Enough of this game. I'm done with all this garbage. Lord, I want to give you more of my time. I want to give you more of who I am. I want to give you more so somebody else can have what I have. What a wonderful thing to sit back. Chris, imagine your mom sitting in the church next to you one day. Imagine my brother sitting in the church. Imagine your mom or dad in the church. I mean, all of us have people we can just imagine. They could be in these pews one day, you know what? But we have to show, live. We have to live that hope. We got it. Now it's ours to give it. But I'm going to tell you another thing. Let me ask, I'm just going to add this and I'm closing. If you do not live, if you do not live, if you do not live the way you're supposed to, you cannot win anybody over. Because they'll think all you are is an artificial, fake, crazy person. That's how they'll look at you. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to eat. And they're going to pull. And they're going to see if that thing is real. Oh, you've been here before. You've said that before. Let me see how real this is. And you know what they're doing? The more times they slip that rug from underneath you, the more times they go in their heart, they go, I'll never do that. I'll never go in their church. I'll never step foot in anything they believe. Because that hope that Jesus Christ gave you, you believe it can't carry you through. You don't trust God to get you through it. Plain and simple. How do I know that? Been there 100 times. More than 100 times. But you know what? I finally just come to the realization, if anybody's ever going to see any hope in me, then I have to move me out of the way and let Jesus move in. That's the only way they'll ever see Jesus. And I'm done with that.